Congratulations to Rodney Hinton of Atlanta for listening to Dukes and Bell and winning the staycation from Reliable Heating and Air. Happy Friday, everybody. We have a big weekend. Pirates coming into town to take on the Braves after beating up on the Blue Jays. And then we've got game two tonight of the NBA Finals. We'll talk more about that. If you missed our conversation with Sam Mitchell, great stuff from Coach as he was talking about the adjustments the Spurs need to make. And also, you know, Wimby, man, and the fact that, look, he is playing a guy that he's actually got to play defense on. He can't just help like he did on SGA.
Right. And I asked him, I said to Carl the first hour of the show, I said, you know, I said, Wemby's got to go inside. Sam says he can't. Because whether it's Mitchell Robinson or Cat, and one thing about Cat, and I don't think it's unfair to say, and sometimes it's cliched in sports talk, that guy's soft.
Yes.
But, you know, like Harden just quits. Harden just disappears. And Cat sometimes, you know, when you're that big, sometimes maybe it comes easy. It comes naturally to you. But I think if Cat maintains that intensity that you saw, and then you can't beat him, because there's that spec. What's been missing from Cat at times, just that
intensity,
that extra oomph. You know, last year they just kind of ran out of juice against Indiana, and they were dealing with some injuries in that series too. But yeah, it's just Thibodeau. It's like, why couldn't Thibodeau do this? I think Mike Brown, and again, I called him Mr. Potato Head for years. Guy's been killing it. As Sam pointed out, he's making all the right moves. You can't argue with it.
No,
and maybe he's the right vibe for that team.
See, that's the key, Mike. It's not always the X's and O's. It's how guys vibe with you and what you can get out of guys. If at the end of the Tibbs tenure there, and let's just say the star and Jalen Brunson had had enough, right? You're always in my ear. I need you to dude, like, I've had enough, right? And when the stars don't back you as a head coach, that's when you get got. They bring in Mike Brown and say what you want. Like, even when we were up on them, right?
And he made some mistakes tactically,
yes,
as far as drawing up plays at the end of the losses.
But he, even in that situation, was like, look, I told our guys, you know, this team and that team has come back and won one series. And even though it sounded lame, like, he's saying and doing all the right things. And, Mike, for whatever reason, man, it's working. I'm with you. I think it's more about the vibe than it is the necessary coaching. Tibbs is a hell of a coach. He just wears on you.
Right. And the other thing is, just to make it clear, you know, we talked about, like, you know, when he took over when Steve Kerr got sick, and he won the championship. Like, well, that's easy, ready-made championship. Well, he didn't screw it up. It's not like when Ime Udoka leaves and Joe Mazzulla screws everything up.
Good call.
You know, so, I mean, he could have – That's a pressure situation. He handled it. Granted, that team was loaded, but still, he has a chance to be a two-time championship-winning coach.
No doubt about it. Some guy talks on the way. We'll talk with Steve Kuhn and Hawks CEO coming up. We'll get his thoughts on these NBA finals. By the way, the numbers look really good. What's it say about the NBA and the interest level?
You know, real quick, we'll ask Steve about it. For some reason, I think guys, and you can sometimes tell if you know what their political agenda is. Some guys like Clay Travis have crossed over, you know, to sort of, you know, right-wing politics from straight sports. They just don't like the NBA. They just don't like the demographics. They just don't. This doesn't vibe it. As long as you know that coming in. But guys with their agendas, people just want to kill the ratings. Oh, the ratings are down. This and that. I go, well, not according to everybody in my neighborhood's watching. You know, a bunch of older, retired white people are watching the NBA where I live because it's really good competition. And Wemby, as you said, is a story. I just think that my beef, and we've said this a million times with Steve, is just they've got to find a way to jazz up the regular season. And I don't know if that means shortening the regular season, but it's just never has there been a league where the regular season is so weak and so uncompelling compared to what the playoffs, where things just really pop.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because it's interesting you bring this up. Did you feel that way when you first got into the NBA?
No, never. Never. Because all the stars played all the games. There was no load management.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. Like, it feels that way, but the reality is it's kind of always – it's been 82 games. It's been 82 games forever. Everybody, you know, go back to the annals. Everybody's played 82 games.
Right.
But why did it feel different? And maybe that's the reason, is because we got on this huge load management kick the last 5-6 years, and everybody was like, it's unfair, what are we doing? And then you had stars sitting out in games where people would pay thousands of dollars to go see these stars,
right?
And it's hurt the league. But I'm with you. I just think back to when I fell in love with the league. I never felt the regular season was inconsequential. I always felt like I'm watching a regular season game, and the stars are out there, Mike, and, man, they are competing their butts off. And even though it was only one game, it felt like it mattered. You're basically saying now the regular season doesn't feel that way. It doesn't feel as important. And right. I don't know. I mean, I feel like there's something to what you're saying. I do.
And there's sometimes the excuses, and sometimes it becomes generational, like, oh, here we go, boomer. No, I'm Gen X. But it's just Karl Malone. You talk about LeBron looking like a football player. We had Karl Malone back
right.
in the day.
Right.
You know, it's you make it sound like, no, Clyde Drexler didn't look like he was a 98-pound weakling. Clyde Drexler was a physical specimen. So the idea that somehow these guys are more athletic and there's more wear and tear, I don't vibe that. I think there was, if anything, there was more physical contact.
Yes, there was.
And there was more hard fouls in the regular season, and the playoffs became out-and-out war. So that's why they cooked up in the cockamamie idea of this in-season tournament, which we all know why. So that's where I just think if Silver could find that balance to where I'm as excited, because, look, I can't lie to you. We do this for a living. Mm-hmm. I don't give a crap until after the All-Star break. I can't lie to you. I'll watch. I'll go to a Hawks game, but you know what you're getting. You know, then all of a sudden the half court slows down, the real gamesmanship kicks in, the strategy, everything else.
Yeah.
Just don't get that week to week in a regular.
You guys can chime in on that 404-726-0929. When we, I say we as in the Royal We, Hawks went undefeated in the month of January back in 15.
Right.
Before the All-Star break.
City was upside down.
There was enormous interest. And Mike, this is what I would tell you. We haven't been there. Not that we need to go undefeated in January, but think about our October, November, December starts here the last few years. Play-in team. What am I excited about?
Right.
I don't think we're going to go into this season feeling that way. And again, we'll expand this conversation to Steve Koonin. But I actually think there's some hope and some optimism about what we just saw, despite we got our butts kicked in Game 6. Forget about that. There just hasn't been that. There were a lot of people in this city, Mike, who had already come to the conclusion that we weren't going to win Jack with Trey.
Right.
And because of it, October, November, December, give me something to be excited about. When Golden State made their run, people were excited in October, November, right. December. The Knicks fans will lose their minds going into next season.
I had Heat tickets when it was Bimbo Coles. And like, I mean, it was Carl, I've had tickets to some really awful basketball.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was still, there was still juice because you knew the stars coming in and all that. Just trying to find out where they find that balance. But you're right. This year, and then this year, remember, we were so excited about Kristaps and Trey, and the Trey didn't start the season.
It became nothing. That became a nothing burger.
Right.
All right, man. It's Dukes and Bell. The commissioners, at least, it feels like they might be on the same page. But is it on the same page about the right thing? Let's talk some dogs. We're talking about the Big Ten and the SEC. It's been front and center, especially with Nick Saban testifying in front of Congress. He wasn't the only one. Nick Bevakwa, who is the AD of Notre Dame, also testified. But yesterday, in unison, Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti, Tony is the commissioner of the Big Ten, they issue a joint statement, Mike, basically in agreement that they are not supporting the Protect College Sports Act in its current state. Not that they wouldn't if some things were changed, but can we be honest? They don't like the pooling of the money aspect of this. And when you are the big dogs, why am I going to pull everybody up to help everybody when it should be that, because it helps college football across the globe, or should I say across the country. That's what it should be. But I feel like that's the one thing that may be, we're not going to do that. There's a bunch of things in here that we like, and they've said that in this statement they put out. But this is the one thing they're agreeing on. What they're not agreeing on is how many teams should be in the college football playoff.
And basically, they said, you know, and the, you know, Petitti, of course, baseball executive, TV, they get the guy, the other guys, you know, NBC executive, and they're all saying, you know, we really want to see things come together in college football, just not this way, because they've got to give up the advantage. And they don't want to give up the advantage. The coffers are full.
Yep.
They've got the things the other schools don't have. They got better TV contracts than everybody else. And, you know, that's why I've always felt, and maybe it might not be the result that fans are going to like, but we get to that Super 75 Super Conference.
Well, in this bill, Mike, that wouldn't happen.
And I think that's the one thing about this bill.
There would be no Super Conferences.
I know it's a slippery slope for the Kennesaw States or the Georgia States of the world. Like, what happens to us? You know, the MAC conferences. How do you make your money if you can't get those? You're not scheduled. I'd rather see an all fill or no killer 12-game balls-to-the-wall schedule where you're playing everybody in all the big boy conferences in a Power 75. And the TV money would be insane because the competition, there's not a game you don't want to watch. You feel me? But that's the reason I do think there's still going to be a chance, something you and I talked about our first show together, that maybe that's why the Big Ten and the SEC, amongst other reasons, don't want to go down this road.
I'll say this, too. If you're going to do that, it's not going to include this bill. And this present Protect College Sports Act is not going to allow that. That's why a lot of people dig it. it's still going to allow conferences to be conferences.
As we know it.
You're still going to have the regional rivalries, the things that Nick Saban talked about that should matter for college football. But I will say this, who's giving up power? Because if you do what you're talking about, you're going to have two commissioners running one league?
Well, that's just it. See, somebody, it was almost like you're going to have to, you'll have to run it like ancient Rome. This year, you're the emperor. Next year, I'm the emperor. And every other year. And that never works, obviously. But it's going to be right. How do you get a two-headed monster to succeed, to coexist?
Hey, man, you guys can chime in, 404-726-0929. By the way, follow Mike, Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, see Dukes, and follow the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929.
So today we've already talked about the Battle of Chickamauga and the Roman Triumvirate. We've had a lot of historical references today, Carl. You're just not going to get this on every show.
No, and I'm sure once Abe's dad gets here, it'll get even further in detail.
We have our Father's Day winners tonight, private party in the back, which is going to be a lot of fun. But thanks to everyone who did register, by the way.
Yeah,
and
man.
Got in it to win it.
No doubt. Mike, what do we have coming up in Guy Talk?
All right, man, a couple of things. A very cool game for historically black colleges and universities is going to be changing its championship game. We'll tell you all about that. Also coming up, what do you do when you're waiting for your wife? She's having a medical procedure, and you're stuck in a waiting room.
For 6 hours. Yeah, 6 hours.
Next, coming up here in Guy Talk on Dukes and Bell. Yeah, man, on a Friday here at Twin Peaks, guys, in Kennesaw, where the ladies want to meet you wearing bikini tops, Carl's, and Daisy Dukes today is the theme.
Look at them girls with the Daisy Dukes on.
No.
I said.
Yes,
look
please.
Look at them girls with them Daisy Dukes on.
Yes.
Y'all don't remember that?
I dig it.
Come
I'm down
on,
with it.
Come
yeah,
on.
Man. By the way, our guy over here.
Come on.
I'm not gonna give his name because he's still got one more day to work, but he's about to retire, our man right here.
Oh, congratulations,
yeah,
sir.
Man. I love that. I love his shirt. It says, "Dirty old men need sex too." I think that's
it. Wait. Is that what it says?
Yeah. That's what's that? Love too. So check.
Okay. Yeah. I see it now. Good shirt. Well,
perhaps love in the sense of a affirmation, or maybe the physical sense as well, Carl. Well, I'm not judging.
Congratulations,
yes.
Sir.
Hey.
Draw your Social Security and enjoy your life.
Are you shooting for 62 and then you're out? You got a plan, by the way?
I do, but no, I'm not going to finish that early if I can help it. I want to continue to work. Man, my mind has to be active, Mike.
Right.
I can't. I don't know. Sir, I'm not going to ask how old you are, but what are you going to do in retirement, by the way? Not get up at 3 a.m. I hear you. That is nice. I understand that.
Now, the reason I bring it up is, yesterday, what do you do if you're a middle-aged guy and your wife's having a procedure at the hospital and all the guys are sitting in the waiting room? And again, my wife, that's why I was off yesterday, took a personal day. So I'm over at Piedmont in Fayetteville. Everybody's so friendly, nice folks, great to everything. And all the guys were all about the same age and we're all kind of commiserating, you know. And like, what were you told? What'd your wife going in? She was going in at 1. What'd they tell you? I was like, 2 hours. 2 hours from start to finish? 3 hours? What are we talking about? Carl? I was at the hospital waiting room 6 hours yesterday.
6 hours?
6 hours. Six. Not cinco. Six. So, needless to say, a bunch of dudes all hanging around with their wives getting the same procedure. We're all kind of like, hey, man, where are you from? What are you into? And I want to give a shout out to, oh, hold on. I got on my phones before I forget.
Six.
Yeah. There is Reginald. There is Jim. And Jack, and
okay.
These guys, and it was basically all different demographics. One guy was over at Fayetteville. One guy was from Tyrone. One guy was from Faribault. Another guy was from over in Jonesboro. And so we're all hanging out. And so Reginald goes, "Hey, man, you're Mike Bell." I go, "Hey," and so we start chatting up. And I go, "Well, I think the lady that did everything before my wife's thing, it ran a little bit long, so she's been pushed back." I go, "We could all get an Uber and go to Trillith and drink and come back." and we're fine.
I was surprised you didn't do this.
Problem is, what if, heaven forbid, 99.9% chance everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
It's outpatient. But if you're not, and then looking for Mike Bell.
Yeah.
Mike Bell to Recovery One.
He left, man. Yeah. He went drinking.
Him and a bunch of guys got in an Uber and went to Trillith to go to Enzo's and drink. So I was this close to twisting three guys' elbows on this. But it was like six. I was like, six? You know? So then I get in the recovery room, and Becky's like, she's coming out of it. And so I'm like, so what are we doing? She's like, I don't know. I go, well, I got your clothes. I got the bag of clothes. I'm like, so should I get the nurse? She's like, okay. And so I go to the nurse. So I go, hey. She's like, what's the problem, Jamaican nurse? I go, no problem. I just, can we go home? It's been a long day. She's sitting in the recovery. You're not ready to leave yet. I'm like, okay. Yeah. I'm going to go back and shut up now.
How many hours did she have to stay there?
It was a while.
Okay.
But anyway, so it was a long afternoon. But it was so funny with all these guys. I'm like the guy from Jonesboro. I'm like, you ever been to Trillith? He goes, I know, there's bars, and they're right over there. I mean, we're here, and they're right over there. I mean, we could all do this and come back, and the wives would be none the wiser. So I was kind of like the devil on guys' shoulders trying to organize.
Close.
We didn't do the escape.
Look, I'm glad you guys didn't, because that you would have felt terrible.
Right.
Any of those guys, if they would have been there for their wives.
Right. It's bad. By the way,
oh, yeah.
We've done this before. We used to do the game winner at night. What's the latest last book? When's the last time you read a good book?
I read all the time, man.
What's on now?
I'm reading about how Atlanta became Atlanta, Andrew Young, and the airport, and how important it was with Maynard Jackson. I'm reading this incredible book about the growth of Atlanta and how Birmingham could have been Atlanta.
Right. What's it called? What's the book called?
It's The Journey Something to Atlanta.
I'm
about halfway through it, but excellent book. And, you know, I came across it. As a matter of fact, I'll tell you, Sam recommended this book about 6 months ago, and I finally came across it and was like, yeah, let me check it out. And I'm enjoying the hell out of it. And we know this. Andrew Young has done so much to move our city forward, but it's an incredible book about where Atlanta was. Going back to the 50s and 60s, obviously, through the airport expansion and what it meant internationally to make us an international city.
You, when I get done with this book, I'm going to give it to you because it's you'll love it because it's the movie making, some great movies, classic movies. It's a biography of John Huston, the director.
Okay.
For those who know Angelica Huston, that was his dad, Danny Huston, other actors. But John Huston directed Maltese Falcon, was Noah Gittis in Chinatown. Mr. Gittis, he played Noah Cross in Chinatown. A fascinating character, directed some of the greatest movies, Asphalt Jungle. Anyway, it's all about like Hollywood from like the 30s and 40s, 50s, and just bananas. Really, very interesting stuff. So that's what I was into last, other than trying to commiserate a jailbreak.
Yeah. Well, you had time. You had time. Time's the key.
Put it this way. I'm halfway through the book, Carl.
Oh, I believe
six hours.
I believe it, yeah.
Anyway, by the way, the other question I was going to ask you, and I can ask Day-Day, is there any little sports game you play on your phone when you're bored?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I've just downloaded about, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, this pool game, which I didn't think I'd get into. I've got a tennis game.
I play that one. I like that one.
I've got a tennis game. I've got spades, and believe it or not, I got dominoes on my phone.
Nice.
And Wordscape, Mike, as well. I'm looking right now. These are all the games I go back and forth on, and then, of course, I still play WGT golf.
I got the field goal kickoff.
Okay.
It's basically like paper football with your finger.
What's that?
And you're basically kicking anywhere. It starts off with like, you know, 10, 20, 30 yards. Next thing you know, you're kicking 65-yard field goals with the wind.
Oh, that's fun.
Easy pleasy.
That's fun.
Field goal.
Okay.
Things to do when you're in the waiting room.
Occupying your time, right?
Right on, man. Okay, a couple of things. We talked about this earlier, and a couple of guys hit us up on the text line. We were asking about why is there so many empty hotel rooms here in Metro Atlanta, and we're not the only city, by the way, for FIFA's World Cup, which is about to kick off here in about, 10 days, right?
Yes,
less
it
than
is.
That. And we talked about FIFA did cancel 1,000 hotel rooms, but that's for their administrative staff and things for VIPs. It doesn't account for the other 60-some-odd thousand rooms. So a lot of folks were hitting us up, and a lot of guys feel that the travel costs have made it prohibitive. And then a couple guys who have family in South America say the visas are hard in some cases.
Oh,
to get out. And I can't speak to every individual situation, but and then the overall issues are the cost of air travel, I should say, and the fact that, you know, if you're going to come from one end of America to another, you can't drive it, you can't take a train, you got to fly it.
Yeah, look, the regional stuff.
And it's Canada and Mexico as well, by the way. It's not just us.
Correct. It's
in this hemispheric World Cup.
Yeah, the regional, you know, transportational stuff, man, it's completely different. And you're right, Mike. I mean, like, I don't have all the answers. I just think all of this stuff is contributing to why it looks the way it does. By the way, it doesn't mean it's not going to turn out to be a great event or, Mike, all these people aren't going to show up, because I still think they are. I just think it's fascinating we are this close away. Look, Super Bowl's coming. We know this in 2 years. People will start booking rooms a year out.
Right.
Okay? There won't be hotel rooms when the Super Bowl rolls around. And I know that's different because it's our thing in the NFL, but the World Cup is such a unique event. You just feel like people are going to show up. And for us to be hosting as Dallas and, again, New York, Mike, and Miami, it's going to be special.
Even if the numbers are off and there's 50,000 empty hotel rooms, is everybody doing Airbnb or VRBO?
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of folks I know in Buckhead that were going to be putting their houses up for the World Cup because you can make a fortune. Right? And why not, right? Hell, you can cover your note for like half the year, if not more, you know, if you do that. But as we said, condos, there are restrictions on a lot of condos in the city as far as a percentage of things you can rent out. So it's not like it's all going there. So we'll wait and see. Hey, man, the HBCU Legacy Bowl is moving to Atlanta.
Oh, that's nice.
In 2027. It's going to relocate from New Orleans. So pretty cool, man.
Oh, New Orleans is losing something and we're gaining something again, huh?
That's a Big Ten Four, one of Black College Football's premier showcases. It's going to Center Park Stadium. It's going to be at Georgia State's home stadium.
And it's a great stadium. And I know if you've not been down there, they redid it. It's the old Ted guys, obviously, but they've redid it. It's a good spot, man. It's a nice stadium.
Cool beans, man. Legacy Bowl coming to the A. All right, man. We were talking about this earlier, and it was the Chicago Bears seriously considering it. We thought it was just all a political bluff and just leverage to get their stadium and get what they want in Illinois, whether it's downtown at the lakefront where they, you know, where Soldier Field is, or over there by the old NASCAR track or Arlington Heights. There's an idea they'd be over there. Our buddy Don Marino, a.k.a. Don Mojito, who does commercial real estate, gave us the breakdown on this. If they go to Indiana, the Bears, zero taxes for 40 years.
Well, there's your answer.
$1 billion funds from the state of Indiana. $1 billion for the stadium. Okay, so basically they're going to drop $1 billion for the stadium. $700 million from the state of Indiana for all the infrastructure. That is all the highways and roads coming off the interstate. Zero funds for stadium, zero infrastructure costs. Arlington Heights, $50 million to $200 million annual tax bill, and then zero for the stadium and zero infrastructure. So where would you move your team?
Well, that's why they're doing this. I mean, look.
I thought the Chicago legislature was trying. I thought it was a game of chicken, but they're not even – I mean, they're just not going to do it.
Well, it's
you can't compete with that.
This is what I was saying about Pritzker, the governor who got involved and was like, yeah, we've negotiated, but they can't give – what is being offered, Mike. So, it sucks. Remember when, Arthur Blank started talking about getting a new stadium and everybody's like, where's it going to go? And Arthur Blank could have easily taken the stadium, OTP, could have taken it way out if he wanted to get those benefits. Instead, he said, you know what? We're keeping it in town. This is a part of Atlanta. We're going to – MARTA's a big part of it. People keep coming. And they made that decision. It was still the best decision. And sometimes, you know, there's got to be some give and take. But this sounds like, man, they're moving in a direction where there's no coming back.
I talk about an offer you can't refuse. And again, it's funny. One of our listeners hit us up on Twitter. Oh, we don't call it X. But it's basically a picture of what this neighborhood looks like. It literally looks like
it's the
heart of an industrial park. You got these rotting old steel mills and all this stuff. So I'm not sure how much they got to clean up before they go. But real quick, I'm going to show the boys. Real quick, showing G-Money. Where the heck is it here? I'll show it to you real quick. There it is. So, I mean, it's if you've ever been on that part of Indiana, that area, it's Lake Michigan and there's sand, and then it's all industrial from, like, Gary, Indiana to the south side of Chi-Town.
Yeah. Well, look, if they're smart and they do this, and if I'm a Bears fan, I'm PO'd. I don't want this. But
I will say this. It's probably interstate. It's still relatively easy to get to.
No, it's going to be it, and I think the in-and-out.
It will be like, remember.
The in-and-out will be easier.
Kansas City Chiefs play, they don't play in Kansas, they play in Missouri.
That's right.
Giants play in Jersey.
That's right.
And Jets play in Jersey as well.
I was going to say, though, I feel like they will build a Truist Park kind of element around this because there is nothing there.
Right.
And that's the other part about this, Mike. If you're not being taxed on the land, you can build all this stuff. We've talked about, you know, Patriots Stadium, restaurants and mixed-use facilities, all this stuff in and around it. The Bears can create that and own all of that.
Right.
So that's the other part about this.
Hey, man, guess who's getting married? They set the date.
Who?
July 3rd.
Who?
July 4th weekend. Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce.
They are going to do it.
in? Where do you think they get married?
I have no idea.
I think south of France.
Look, they could do it anywhere. Reports just came out. She is, what is it? Multi-billionaire now, I guess. Yeah. If that's such a thing. I know she was already a billionaire, but they're saying she's worth $2 or $3 billion.
New York City,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
There's even. No, I don't think they'd be garish enough to have the fans at the wedding. Somebody said, "What are you doing at the garden?" I believe the Kelsey's. One of the Kelsey's parents is Catholic. St. Patrick's is always a nice spot, but apparently, New York City, July 3rd, a source with direct knowledge.
That's cool.
Telling the National Enquirer, TMZ Sports has it as well. Venue still up for grabs. Could be Central Park. Could be Rockefeller Center. Could be Radio City. But either way, that'd be a big one. It'd be a lot of guests, I presume. But they said July 3rd in New York. That has been confirmed. So stay tuned for that. And then finally, this is Guy Talk. If you're just tuning in, we're going to talk to the Hawks CEO. Falcon Report coming up at 5 o'clock. Grant's going to join us, talk some Braves as the homestand continues coming up at 5:20. Just want to give a mention, Carl, to a guy that I know you interviewed and I got to interview back in the day. One of the nicest gentlemen in the world of racing. Ned Jarrett. Father of Dale Jarrett passed away. He had been around, I mean, for decades and decades. I had a chance to interview him in the early 90s. Ned Jarrett was born in 1932, and he just passed away, so in his 90s. Just an amazing, unbelievably. You got the call? This is Ned Jarrett calling Dale Jarrett, winning the Daytona 500 for Joe Gibbs Racing. Take a listen.
Here he comes, Earnhardt. It's the Dale and Dale show. It's become off of turn four. You know who I'm pulling for. It's Dale Jarrett. Bring her at the inside, Dale. Don't let him get down there. He's going to make it. Dale Jarrett's going to win the Daytona 500. All right. Oh, look at Martha. Oh, dear. Oh, can you believe it? Way to go.
Oh, hey.
Man. Did you teach him to drive that race car? Super job there.
Unbelievable. Along with Benny Parsons. I mean, that's if you grew up with NASCAR like I did, loving it in the late 80s and early 90s, he was better, Carl, than digital timing. He could watch a stopwatch and tell you what the time was on a super speedway. Rest in peace, Ned Jarrett. Two-time, by the way, NASCAR champion.
Yeah, man. That's a great call.
I get goosebumps hearing that.
So personal, right?
Driving the old 18 Interstate Batteries car was Dale Jarrett, who went on to drive for UPS here in Atlanta.
Good stuff. The name of the book, Making of Modern Atlanta.
Outstanding. Check it out.
At the Journey. All right, guys, coming up, we are going to get a chance to talk to Steve Koonin. We'll talk to him about these ratings. Mike brought it up. Some people will be like, oh, it's not doing well. Look, the NBA playoffs have been crushing it. Also, it's a big offseason for our Hawks. We are counting down to the draft. Just a few weeks away, believe it or not. We'll try to get some info from Steve about that and their approach. It's Dukes and Bell. It is Dukes and Bell. We're at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw today. We're going to host our Father's Day event as well. I say we as in not me, the entire station. Mike and I will just be a part of that. But for those who are winners and certainly participated in the contest to join us tonight, we're looking forward to seeing you guys out here. That'll happen after we get done. Steve Koonin is on the line, though, and it's always good to talk to the Hawks CEO. It feels like there's just a lot of stuff looming for our Hawks. Steve, welcome in. Happy Friday to you. How you doing today, man?
I'm doing wonderfully. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Yeah.
Enjoying this series, you know, Spurs and Knicks. Tonight we get game two. I want to ask you, because we always throw this out and talk about the health of the league, and I just don't think people understand how well the NBA maybe is doing. But the numbers came out, and, you know, again, the ratings for these playoff series have been off the charts. Talk to us about, you know, what you think it means for the growth of the NBA, because I do think the league is resonating with young folks. I do think the league is resonating with people that are tuning in and playing the video games and doing all the things on social media, because, Steve, we've talked about this. The social media presence of the NBA is bigger than the NFL.
Yeah, the social media presence is incredible. I think there were 2 million interactions with social media during the game on Wednesday night. I mean, 2 billion.
That's crazy.
Incredible. And I think what we're seeing is two very unique things. One, it reminds me a bit of the Boston Red Sox in 04 and the Cubs, right. Teams that haven't won in decades that have five, six, seven generations of fans still alive. And then the emergence of Wemby as, you know, the new face of the league. So I think there's some lightning in a bottle. And I watched the game the other night with a bunch of people. And, you know, oh, they're down by 14. And the next thing you know, here come the Knicks and they win. And then they're just highly, highly, highly entertaining. I'm watching tonight at the brand new Cosm, which is opening. I cannot wait to see what that's like.
It's going to be a Coonan Chasm, Carl.
There we go.
Hey, man.
I like that.
That place looks amazing. We'll talk more about that when we finally get our butts in there to check it out and do it. Steve, yeah. The NBA, we talked earlier. Critics of the league, they have their agenda. I mean, you can see it coming a mile away. I said it earlier. I said the only thing that needs to be tightened up is try to make the regular season as compelling as the playoffs, because the playoffs have been just amazing. Even with the Knicks sweeping through the East, you know, it'd be something if we're the only team that beats the Knicks in this playoff. But what do you, what do you think, though, about trying to find – do you have to maybe shorten the regular season? And would fans ever accept that because the ticket price would go up?
Everything's great. No. Be a negative Nancy. No.
I'm just – your regular season doesn't match up with your your postseason is amazing. The regular season leaves some things to be desired. Ergo the in-season tournament.
No, ergo the in-season tournament because it's more fun and excitement brought to you by the NBA.
All right.
That's both fun and excitement.
All right. Okay.
So thanks. Appreciate the feedback.
Steve Coonan. Fan interaction, Steve. The league's investigating an interaction between Knicks star Jalen Brunson and courtside fans late in the fourth quarter, game one. Look, why are we seeing more of this crap? Right? The fan ran on the
guy that ran on the court. He's banned for life.
Yes, he took the selfie, and again, nobody was hurt. But are we seeing more aggressive language and actions towards players? Because it feels like it's changed.
Well, the three of us are big advocates and fans of gambling, correct?
Yes.
The interaction between fans now, and all of us in Atlanta, we don't have that, so we really don't experience it. But the interaction between fans and players now has gotten so nasty because of gambling. I mean, I've heard stuff in our building you would not believe. I hope you die. Because you missed you're over under. Yeah. I mean, just horrific stuff.
Wow.
Horrific stuff. So, yeah, it has, and it's not good. I mean, there used to be some kind of decorum that happened, and now, there's, and again, nobody's a bigger fan of legalized betting than I. In fact, I turned you two on to Kelsey.
Yeah.
But. You know, take your losses. Don't sit there and scream horrible things at players. I mean, it's just not acceptable. Not acceptable. And so who knows what they said. Jalen Brunson's a consummate professional. He's not picking on San Antonio people, unlike Charles Barkley, who's not.
It's true.
It's our man Steve Coonan, guys, the Hawks CEO. And now, again, we got a long way to go here. This series, it'll be curious to see in the chess match how they bounce back and how Wemby is utilized and how do they handle the athleticism and the size of the Knicks. But I can't wait to see what Anse Saleh is going to do to this team and how the Hawks improve. Now, do you feel that we'll be aggressive in free agency? A blend, obviously, we know we have a couple of draft picks, and there's some thoughts about maybe we use those picks to move up. Who knows? But do you think we'll be how will Tony Ressler feel about maybe dipping his toe into an apron, or are we not there yet with this team and his evolution?
Tony Ressler I was with him today. We gave Anse 100% the green light to do whatever he thinks is right to build this team. As we talked about last week, and we've talked about multiple times, the going into the tax is not a recipe necessarily to win. It's plain and simple, it's not a recipe to win. If we have an opportunity to make our team better, going into the tax is an absolute non-issue. But you can't just go into the tax because you want to make Mike happy. You have to have, a reason and a cause that makes you think you're going to compete for championships. You also have to have players. There's not a lot of free agency in the NBA anymore. There's not a ton of free agency. I mean, who do you have your eye on, Mike?
No, we've talked about a guy, if not specifically. I know you can't comment on players that are under contract, but
no,
a Mitchell Robinson.
You to comment on players under contract.
A Walker Kessler, a Mitchell Robinson. If you want to go older, a Vucevic. Well, add some size unless we draft some size in the draft.
But I think the first two you mentioned are restricted free agents, which
they could match.
That's a little bit tight to do. So, you know, I don't want our listeners and our fans, which we have many of them, I understand, both of them, you know, to be misled.
Right.
Yeah, the team would have to renounce those players. So
no, and maybe a trade, maybe a multi-team trade, because there will be some guys, whether it's going to be, again, Steve can't comment because he works for the team guys, but there's some high-end tickets like Giannis, which would may involve, as Carl's pointed out, multiple teams to maybe pull a deal off. Maybe we could partner up in that sort of scenario.
Yeah, maybe.
Good answer, Steve. Good answer.
Rhymes with Jalen Brown. Back to you, Carl.
Let's talk about the prospects in this draft. What are you hearing? I mean, again, everybody's talking about this being a deep draft. I feel like, you know, with where we're selecting, Steve, assuming, again, that we keep our picks, and I think we are, that we could get two really good young players that can help us. We watch the Spurs, and everybody keeps talking about how young they were. This was OKC last year. You win with young guys in this league, Steve.
Yeah, you do. And you know, you've got really deep and really good players that, you know, we're excited about, that we're very excited about. So hopefully, we'll be able to get somebody who's going to be with us and for a long, long time. I'm riding in a car, and I think that the driver needs to be taken outside and beaten because he's going to kill me.
What the hell's going on? Are you in the trunk?
I'm in an Uber with somebody who I think should lose their license the way they're driving.
Oh, I mean,
hit a planner. I'm going to get out and walk in a minute.
I wondered why you were. Well, I mean, you were pausing.
I presume that English is not the driver's first language. With Steve telling us from the back seat, Carl.
Parts of my clothing.
Yeah, look, I didn't know if you were in a Waymo or not. I didn't know what was going on. There
Waymo
was
a pause. Better than this crap.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look, I've been there.
Wow.
You have to sometimes ask these guys, "What are you doing?" All right, Steve. Before we let you go, what are you doing?
He's on his phone.
Okay, that's not good. That's not good.
No,
I need you to be my driver.
Yes.
Okay?
You're my driver. Steve demands customer service and safety.
Broadcast, sir, on radio.
Hey.
There's a couple of people listening.
What will it mean if Georgia is able to not only make it to the College World Series, they are the remaining highest seed in baseball? What would it mean if they're able to get the Natty, Steve?
It just means that, once again, life is wonderful. The trees are green. The flowers are beautiful. And once again, them dogs have brought home the bacon.
They got a great shot at it. Super regional tomorrow. Start time, don't necessarily like. But I do like the fact that it's on early and most people will be watching. 11 o'clock tomorrow, 12 on Sunday. Steve Koonin, we got to roll, man. Stay safe.
Can
put your seatbelt on. Yeah.
Sure. Our golden ticket concert. We've got 18 World Cup concerts coming. You can win tickets to every concert. The PR people asked me to do it. I almost got killed by an Uber driver.
All right. So Google Hawks golden ticket. Is it concert. State Farm golden ticket?
Sure. All yeah.
Right. Wait. It's on the website?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Golden,
all right.
Call Garen Narain, right. Golden ticket.
Golden ticket.
Golden ticket.
All right. Go check it out, check folks. It out.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank
right,
you.
I'm going to sue this guy.
Did he say Sue?
Sue, it sounds like the video for, remember Red Hot Chili Peppers, where Anthony Kiedis gets like, he gets kidnapped by a crazy cab driver who's like barreling around Los Angeles.
Hey,
hope Steve's okay.
That's happened
and
to us, man. Yeah. I've had to tell guys, look, we're trying to get home safe. Like, you're driving crazy.
I'm the other way. I'm like, left lane, pass him, hit it.
Nah, I'm good. I'm trying to get home safe. I'm not paying you to try to kill me. Hey, man, coming up, Falcon Report's on the way. They trust him, or at least he feels like they do. Do you trust him as much as they do? Also, Braves insider Grant McCauley's going to join us. New day, new series, and the latest on the injuries with the Braves. It's all coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.